Okay, good morning. The weekly shiur in Maseches Chagiga is sponsored by Yitzweiss CPA, who always strives to make the results of your tax filings a good reason for a Chagiga, and a Refuah Shleima from Binyamin Simcha Ben Adina Minya. And the weekly breakfast is sponsored by Begelman Shlili Nishmas Fega Bas Chaim and Shimon Ben Zev. We're doing Daf Yud Beis in Chagiga, which, as you'll see in a moment, is a challenging daf. A little bit outside of my own personal comfort zone, because it has to do with all these esoteric topics and even Kabbalistic topics. So we'll try to touch the surface and get through the basics to prepare for this year, because this is a little bit outside of my usual area of expertise. I listened to the daf on this by Rabbi Shalom Rosner, who always throws in interesting things. So a lot of the interesting things that I'll throw in are attributable to him, are quoted by him. Okay, we left off on Yud Aleph Amud Beis with a description or discussion, an explanation of why it is that the Mishnah says that Maisa Bracious should only be taught in small groups. That the topics involved in kind of recounting the creation of the world are complicated and potentially open to misinterpretation, and therefore it really needs to be handled by experts, experts dealing one-on-one with experts. And we quoted the Pesukim for saying that. And the Pesukim kind of focused on the fact that the Pesukim said that you should only be investigating, looking at things, you know, from the time of the creation of the world, but not before that, and things that are only within the confines of the universe and not outside of that. And so the Gemara now picks up on that and says, "Hashta denafkale miuksei shemayim v'ad kutzei shemayim." Now that you learn that concept from the idea that you should only learn what is in the within the confines of the universe, so then min hayom asher bara Elokim adam ha'aretz lamali. Why do you need a separate pasuk to tell you that also within the confines of the time of the universe? Once you already know that you should only be learning the stuff within the dimensions of the universe, why do you need a separate pasuk to teach you that you should only be doing it from the time the universe began? Because you've already laid out the concept that you should only be dealing with stuff that is physically present. Once you know the dimensions are what confine you, why do you need also a separate pasuk to teach you that time confines you? So lamali, why do you need that pasuk? So the Gemara answer is El Kad Rabbi Elazar, to teach you the halacha of Rav Elazar. Da Amar Rabbi Elazar, Adam Harishon min ha'aretz agor rakia. That Adam Harishon, that this pasuk Asher Bara Elokim Adam al ha'aretz, teaches you that Adam Harishon, Adam was as tall as the sky. He extended from the earth up into the heavens. Shenemar, as it says, Lumin Hayom Asher Bara Elokim Adam al ha'aretz. That's what teaches you that his dimensions were so high. V'kevan shesarach, and then once he was chote, once after the chet of Adam Arishon, heniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu yadav alav, Hashem kaviyachol placed his hand on him, pushed him down, umiyato, and made him shorter. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, achor v'kedem tzar sani, v'tasha salai kapecha. The pasuk says that I fashioned him as smaller, vatasha salai kabecha, that I placed my hand on him. Fine. Am Rav Yudah Marav, Adam Arishon misof ha'olam v'ad sofo haya. That Adam Arishon, this is consistent with what we just said, that Adam Arishon was extended from one end of the earth to the other. Shenemar l'min hayom asher bara Elokim Adam al ha'aretz, v'kutzei ha'shamayim v'ad kutzei ha'shamayim. That Adam Arishon extended from one end of the sky to the other, kevan shesarach, and once he was chotei, heniach HaKadosh Baruch Hu yadav alav, Hashem placed his hand on him, kaviyachol, umiyato, and he made him shorter. Shenemar v'atasha salai kapecha, the same pasuk we just quoted. Ihachi kashu kraya adadi. So if that's the case, then we seem to have a contradiction, because the first pasuk indicated that he was as big as he was as big as from the earth to the sky, and this pasuk implies that he went from one end of the earth to the other. Your answer is they're both one measurement, meaning if you measure from one end of the earth to the other, it's the same as measuring from the earth to the sky, whatever that means. And so the pasukim don't contradict each other. The Ben Yehoyada apparently says that what does this mean? Adam Rishon literally extended from the earth to the sky. So if you look at Tosos actually tries to figure out how that was physically possible. He takes this literally to mean that he was literally that tall. The Ben Yadam says that what it means to say is that all neshamos that were ever to be born in the future were kind of confined or contained within Adam HaRishon. He was so big, spiritually speaking, that his body encapsulated all the neshamos ever to be created. V'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Yehuda Amar Rav says, quotes Rav is saying, Asara Dvarim Nivru B'yom Rishon. There were 10 things that were created on the first day. These were the 10 things created on the first day. Shamayim Va'aretz, the skies, the land. Tohu Vavohu, this idea, concept of Tohu Vavohu, nothingness that was swimming around. Or Vachoshech, light and darkness. Ruach Umayim, wind and water. Midas Yom, Midas Laila, and the measurement of day and measurement of night, which Rashi says means chafdal shalos bein shneim, the idea that there are 24 hours in a day, meaning the idea that, or I should say, the size of the day, the length of a day, was already determined on the first day. You know, we have all sorts of questions of how do you reconcile science and Torah, where, you know, we know that we have a tradition that the world is 5,780 years old, and the scientists who look at the fossil record can say that it's, you know, millions and billions of years old. So how do you reconcile it? So there are all sorts of answers, and some of the answers that are given are based on this idea that when we say the Sheshes Yimei Breishis, the 6 days of creation, that it wasn't literally days of 24 hours, but that each day was maybe, you know, several billion years old or something like that. So this Gemara cuts against that. If you hold like this Rashi, at least, that each day was literally a 24-hour day, that kind of takes out of the realm of possibility that answer, and then you have to go with some of the other answers, which is that Hashem created the world already aged, just like Hashem didn't create an egg, He created a fully grown chicken when He created chickens. So too Hashem created a fully grown world with the fossil record intact as if it had existed for billions. Whatever, there are all sorts of answers you could give, but at least the answer that each day was more than 24 hours is, at least this Rashi seems to cut against that. Okay, so now we're going to get into the psukim that provide the basis for all this, for this statement that each of these 10 things was created on the first day. Shamayim v'aretz, earth and sky and earth. Dichsiv, how do we know that? That's an easy one. Breishis bar Elokim asa shamayim v'aretz. The pasuk says explicitly right at the beginning that Hashem created on the first day the skies and the land. Tohu v'avohu. How do we know that? Dichsiv v'aretz haisa tohu v'avohu. Also another easy one. It says explicitly. Or v'choshech. Choshech dichsiv v'choshech al pnei tohom. It says specifically that there was darkness there, or Dichsiv Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, that Hashem said there should be light. Rav Yaakov Emden points out that Choshech, we see from here, Choshech is not always just the absence of light. We usually think of Choshech, of darkness, as just that if you lack light, then you have Choshech. But here we see Choshech was expressly created as its own independent creation, and he points out, echoing the Ramban, in the context of the Makos, that sometimes you see Choshech as an independent entity, such as, for example, the Mak of Choshech, we know, is described by Rashi and the Mefarshim as kind of a thick darkness, not just the absence of light, but an actual physical force in its own right. So here this is kind of consistent with it, the idea that Hashem didn't just create Or, but He also created Choshech separately. Okay, Ruach Umayim, wind and water. It says that the wind of the spirit of Hashem was floating on the water. Midas yom umidas laila, the length of the day and the length of the night. Because the pasuk concludes, the little parsha there concludes by saying this was one day, that evening and morning of one day. Okay, now we say a brisa, Tana. We have a brisa that says, Tohu kav yorok shemakev eskola olam kula. What is this idea of Tohu, of this nothingness, of the spirit? Tohu, that refers to a green line that surrounds the entire earth. Shemimenu yatza choshech. And from that, choshech emanated. Shnemar Yoshes Choshech Sisros Vivosav, that Choshech comes from its hiding place, which encircles it, referring to this green line that encircles the earth from which Choshech emanated. Vohu, and what's a Vohu? Ewa Avanim HaMifuamos HaMishukos Batahom. These are the wet or moist rocks that are embedded in the stratosphere. Shemehen Yotzin Mayim, and from there water came out. Shenemar V'Natoel Kav Tohu V'Avne Vohu. That I stretched on it this line of Tohu and the stones of Vohu, these moist stones of Vohu. Whatever that means. It's hard to understand exactly what this is referring to, but this is somehow sharing with us some of the secrets of Maaseh Bereishis. So the Gemara now says, V'or bayom rishon ivru, is it true that light was created on the first day? V'aksiv v'yiteno sam elokim b'rokei ha'shamayim. Doesn't it say that it was on the fourth day that Hashem created the luminaries? So how do you have light without the luminaries? How do you have light without sun, moon, stars, or the sun, really? How do you have light without the sun? Ela k'derav Elazar. We answered it. It really is going like Rav Elazar, Damar Rav Elazar, or Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bayom Rishon, that this is a special kind of light. This wasn't just the light that we know of from the sun. This was a special kind of light that Hashem created independently on the first day. Adam Tsofe Bo Mi Sofa Olam V'ad Sofo, and a person could see it from one end of the earth to the other. Kevin Shnistakel HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'dor HaMabel, but when Hashem saw the Dor HaMabel, the people acting inappropriately, Uvedor HaFlaga, and the Dor HaFlaga, V'ra Hashem HaSeyam Nikol Kalam, and he saw that they were acting badly, Amad V'gunzo Mehem. So Hashem stood up and he took it back from them, Shenemar V'yimna Mirashayim Oram. That Hashem, the Pasuk says, that Hashem, in Eov, that Hashem retracted the light from the Rishayim. This is a Rashi in Bereishis that talks about this, right? That this special ore was created on the first day, but this was later Nignaz, and that this was put aside or put away. Ulemi Gonzo, and who did he set it aside for? Who did he hide for? With Tzadikim Asid Lavo. He set it aside for the Tzadikim in the future, Shenemar, Vayar Elokim Esaor Kitov. Because the Pasuk says that Hashem saw the light that it was good. Vein tov el tzadik, and tov refers to a tzadik. Shenemar imru tzadik ki tov. So the word tzadik is associated with the word tov. Kaven shira or shegunzo at tzadikim samach. And once the light saw that it was set aside for the tzadikim, the light was happy. Shenemar or tzadikim yismach, that the light of the tzadikim is happy. So there's this idea that Hashem created the light, that the light created on the first day is not the light that we know of, but this is a special light that was nignas for the tzaddikim lasid lavo. Rav Dessler points out that, or asks the question, wouldn't it have been useful to leave the light, right? The worse the people are, the people of the Dor HaMabel, Dor HaFlaga, they're acting inappropriately, so why pull the light away from them? Leave the light there to inspire them and teach them to do the right thing. We'd be much better off if we had this or Haganuz L'Tzadikim at our disposal to teach us. So Rav Dessler points out that Hashem needed to level the playing field in order to allow us to keep our Bechira. Right? This idea that if Hashem was ever present and ever noticeable to us, we always saw this light and it was apparent to us that there was this light of this divine light shining, that would take away our Bechira and it would kind of take away the ability for us to choose to do right or wrong. And as a result, it would take away any notion of schar because we would be doing right because we were so influenced by this or for the tzaddikim.
Did you say the same way he took away the light, he took away that darkness?
That he also took away that...
We don't have today.
Maybe, okay. Good, nice idea. That meaning that we don't have these kind of extra
our
apparent...
Our darkness is no light.
Yeah, right. Right, we're kind of left without the light, without the darkness, and we're left to fend for ourselves, and we have that bechira. There's kind of that balance of power. But once you have one, you have to have the other in order to maintain the balance of power so that there's an appropriate level of bechira available. Okay, so anyway, they attribute that to Rav Dessler. Rai Rosner, when he quoted that, he pointed to that it's similar, going on Parshas HaShavuot, it's similar to It's funny, he gave that shiur. I think Daf Yomi, when he gave it, was up, was just after Pesach had ended. So it works out for us, because our parsha, we're dealing with the with Yetzias Mitzrayim. So he pointed out that this is kind of similar to when the Pasuk says that Hashem hardened Paro's heart. So usually we say that Hashem doesn't intercede and change someone's own bechira. And so why did he need to, or why did he? Why was it appropriate for Hashem to harden Paro's heart? So I think whether it's Rav Dessler or Rav Razin was quoting from someone else, he says that it was specifically at that time where Paro was faced with the overwhelming evidence of Hashem's hashkacha in the form of the makos. These makos were these miracles that were happening, and so it was clear to anyone looking that Hashem, the Yad Hashem, was in charge, and that Hashem's hashkacha was apparent in the world. So Hashem had to counteract that with the hardening of Paro's heart again, because the world doesn't work with Hashem's overt display of hashkacha. We're left to we only have bechira because Hashem's hashkacha is not that apparent to us. But when the makos were in play, and that level of bechira, of that level of hashkacha, was apparent to all, so Hashem had to kind of counteract that with the hardening of Paro's heart, so that Paro wouldn't be making decisions simply based on an overt hashkacha that was apparent in the world. Okay, so the same idea here. Hashem had to hide that light in order to allow us to function with a level playing field, with the ability to make decisions based on what we perceive rather than just what's put in our face. Okay, then the Gemara says, Kitanai, this follows a Braisa, or Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'yom Rishon, Adam Tzofel Ma'abit Bo Misofa Olam V'ad Sofo, Divrei Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov says that this light that Hashem created was this special light that was later Nignaz L'Tzadikim, that's Rabbi Yaakov, V'chachamim Omrim, Hein Me'oros Shnubru B'yom Rishon. No, Chachamim say on a much more basic level that this or of the first day, this refers to the light that we're aware of, the light that's created by the sun. And so Hashem had created the sun on the first day already, v'onitlad yom revi. But when it says on yom revi that Hashem created the luminaries, it doesn't mean that he first created the sun on the fourth day. That's when he placed the sun in its proper place. He kind of had everything finished off by the first day. The or was already created by the first day. But it wasn't until the fourth day, say the Chachamim, that Hashem placed the sun where it's supposed to be.
What was the purpose of the light from the first day to the fourth day? Just sitting around?
It was just sitting around, I guess. You know, the sun is very bright, so no matter where it is, it's going to lighten the world, but it took the fourth day to put him in its proper place. It was probably very hot. I don't know. Amrav Zutra Bartovia, Amrav. Basara Dvarim Nivra Olam. So the world was created with 10 concepts or 10 forces, 10 ideas. And here they are. Bechachma, with wisdom. Uvitfuna, and with another type of wisdom, uvidas, and a third type of wisdom. This is chachma, tuna, das, is three types of wisdom. Rashi says chachma is yodei ma shelamed. Chachma is just simply knowing what you were taught, information, data. Tvuna, Rashi says, is shu mevin davar chadash mi pilpul chachma. So tvuna is where you derive conclusions from the information that you have. And das, Rashi says, is yishuv, which is kind of analysis, a higher level of analyzing data. So that's fine. So those are the first three things. Chachma, tuna, das, three types of knowledge. Uva koach, with force. Rashi says koach azroa, kind of physical force. Uva gaara. Gaara is, sounds like anger, right? Anger. Uva gvura. Rashi says gvura salev, a kind of courage or intent. Bitzedek, with righteousness. Uva mishpat, with law or with justice. Bechesed, with mercy. Rather, chesed is kindness. Uvarachamim, and with mercy. So those are the 10 things with which Hashem created the world. And now we're just going to quote psukim to demonstrate each of the 10. Bechachma, v'tfuna, d'chsiv. How do you know for chachma? V'tfuna, d'chsiv, Hashem, bechachma, yasar eretz, konein shemayim b'tfuna. The pasuk says in Mishlei that Hashem created the world, or he established the world, with chachma and with tfuna. Bidas, how do you know we did it with das, with wisdom? Dechsiv bidaito tohomos nivkau, that the depths were split with das. Bekoach ugvura, how do we know that he did it with strength? Dechsiv mechin harim bikocho Nezar Bigvura, that he establishes mountains with force, and they're established with strength. Bigara, how do you know with kind of anger? Dechsiv amude shamayim rofafu, that the pillars of heavens are shaking. Vayismahu migara so, and they stopped shaking. They kind of became established, firm, as a result of his anger, with his force of his anger. Betzedeku mishpat, how do you know that it's that the world is created with righteousness and justice? Dechsiv tzedeku mishpat mechon kisecha, that righteousness and justice are the place of his chair. Bechesed virachamim, with kindness and with mercy. Dechsiv zechor achamecha Hashem v'chasidecha v'chasadecha kimi olam hema. That see, there you see Rachamim and Chesed, both are being attributed to Kimei Olam Hema, because they were always there. They were there from the beginning of the world. V'amrav Yudah Marav, b'shah shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu esa olam, at the moment that Hashem created the world, hayamarchiv v'hoeich, that the world was expanding, kishtei pikiyos shel shasi, like two strands of thread, ad shagar b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'amido, until Hashem established his anger over it, or was objected to the expansion and stopped it from expanding and made it stable. Shenemar amudei shamayin rofufu vayismahu migara so, that the pillars of the skies were shaking, and then vayismahu migara so, and they stopped shaking. They became established, firmed from his anger. This is what Reish Lakish says. My dechsiv ani kel shakai. What does it mean when it says, when Hashem describes himself to Avram Avinu as kel shakai? I am the I am shakai. He says that name. What does that mean? Ani hu shamarti olam dai. I am the one that said enough to the world. The world was expanding, and I was the one who finally put an end to it. And I said enough.
Here it says, where did he say, built out the world, it's finite in its spaces, okay? Science says the world is continuously expanding, the universe.
Right.
What does the Rebbeim have to say about that?
Well, the universe is expanding, but not the world.
Yeah, right, the universe is expanding. I don't know what this means specifically when Hashem said something should stop expanding. I don't know, this is all beyond... It's hard to understand, meaning it's hard to kind of reconcile what we mean by the universe, what we mean by Hashem's creation. Hashem is infinite, so if the universe is expanding, that implies that it's not infinite, right? Because it has a certain measurement and it's expanding. We're, I think, thinking in terms of something even greater than the universe, all of existence, whatever that means, meaning the whole thing is kind of just beyond understanding.
One of those questions we have to wait till Din Mishael.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Well, busy asking all those questions, we get to ask one.
Right, right. The Minchas Chinuch points out, by the way, that this idea, this pasuk of Ani Kel Shakai, Hashem identifies himself as a Kel Shakai. This takes place in the context of Bris Milah. This is when Hashem commands Avram Avinu the mitzvah of Bris Milah. He says the name of Shakai, the name of Hashem of Shakai, is associated particularly with the Bris Milah, right? Ani Kel Shakai, Hisalech Lufanai Ve'esamim. That's what Hashem says to Avram Avinu at the Bris. That's the pasuk we say at the Bris Milah. So the Minchas Chinuch, I think it's the Minchas Chinuch, Rabbi Rosner quoted, is saying that Hashem is kind of communicating to man that I created man to a certain point, right? And then I said, die. I said, enough. And I'm giving over you, man, the ability to perfect yourself, not only in terms of Kiyum of Torah Mitzvot, but on a very physical level. The idea of a Bris Milah is that that man has some role in perfecting himself. So that's appropriate for this idea of Shakai, that I say up to here, this is where I take a role in creating you, man, and then Aniyu Shamarti Olam Dai, I say now, enough, and now you, man, take over in perfecting yourself with the Bris Milah and with the performance of mitzvahs.
So it's really interesting because Hashem says Ani Kel Shakai twice, right? Once to Avram, once to Yaakov. The Torah Or quotes it from Yaakov.
Oh, really?
Bereishis Lamed Hey.
That's interesting.
It's from Yaakov.
Bereishis Lamed Hey, you're right. Ani Kel Shakai Prayer of Vey. Ah, okay. But that doesn't change the fact that name is used I mean, here also it's pray reveh. He's telling him to continue to also take responsibility and make the next generation, right? Pray reveh. So similar idea. Okay. Amar Reish Lakish, Bishasha Baruch HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hayam, when Hashem created the oceans, Hayam Marchiv V'Hoich Ad Shegar Bo HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Yavshu. They continued to expand until Hashem made his will known, made his desire known, V'Yibashu, and then that's when they started to dry up. They stopped expanding. Shenamar, and the Pasuk says, Go'er Bayom V'Yivashehu. Idea, same idea, that Hashem became angry at the seas, and then they dried up. I'm sorry, and then it continues, V'cha naros hichriv, and all the rivers dried. Tanu Rabbanan, Beshamay omrim shamayim nivru tchila. Oh, so here we have machlokes Beshamay says. Beshamay omrim shamayim nivru tchila. Beshamay says, first the skies were created, V'achar kach nivrei sa'aretz, and afterwards the earth was created. Shnemar breishis bar elokim, es hashamayim ve'es ha'aretz, the skies, the heavens, and then the earth. V'esil omrim, just the opposite, eretz nivrei tchila, the earth was created first, v'achar kach shamayim, and after that the heavens were. Shnemar, v'yomasos Hashem elokim eretz v'shamayim. So that's the machlokas. Amram beishtila beishamai, beisil said to beishamai, v'divreichem, according to you, that the sky was created first, adam bona aliyah v'achar kach bona bayis, when you're building a building, as David could tell us, you don't build the roof first, you build the house first, right?
Correct.
That's correct, right. So it's not going to work. It's not going to work if you put the roof up first. Shnemar habona b'shemayim me'alosav, v'agudaso al eretz yisada. And he even quotes a pasuk to kind of back that up, or to back up the idea that the shemayim is almost like an attic, like the roof. Habona b'shemayim me'alosav, that the shemayim is the attic, v'agudaso al eretz yisada, and his vault was established on the earth. So that was the challenge posed by Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai. How could it possibly be that the heavens were created first? Amru lahem Beis Shammai lo Beis Hillel. So Beis Shammai said to Beis Hillel, well, if you're going to use that kind of logic, l'divreichem, adam osa sarafraf v'achar kach osa kisei, does a person build a footstool, or does a person build an ottoman, and then build the chair? You build the chair first because you need to measure where your legs are going to go, and then you build the footstool to figure out to put up your legs. Shenemar, komar Hashem, hashemayim kisi v'aretz adom raglai. And the pasuk says that the shemayim is like the chair, v'aretz adom raglai, and the land is kind of where Hashem rests his feet, kaviyachol. That was the dialogue, and it kind of ended up without them figuring it out. But that's what Beis Shammai retorted back to Beis Hillel. The Chachamim, Omrim Chachamim say, Zev Zek Achas Nivru. Neither Beis Shammai nor Beis Hillel are right, or they're both right. They're both the Shemayim and the Aretz were built at the same time. They were built simultaneously. Shenemar Af Yoda Yisada Eretz V'yemini Tafcha Shemayim, that my hand established the land and my right hand established, spread the skies. Kore ani aleihem yamdu yachdav, and I call to them to stand yachdav. That's the operative word yachdav, that they stand together, implying that Hashem created them both together. V'idach, and what about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel? How are they going to explain the word yachdav? My yachdav duo mishtalfi me'adadi. That just means that they are, once they were created sequentially one after another. But once they were created, they were wedded to each other, yachdav, so that they never separate from each other. The sky is always there, the earth is always there, they're yachdav, they're together. The Gemara then says, Mikomakom krashu kraya dadi. Nevertheless, we have a seeming contradiction between these psukim, you know, and the question again is, which came first? Is it the Shemayim or the Aretz? Reish Lakish kishinivru bara Shemayim v'achar kach baretz. So Reish Lakish reconciles all these psukim by saying that when they first were created, so Hashem created the heavens, and then he created the earth. Ukishenata, and when he spread them, nata, or when he established them, nata haaretz v'achar kach nata shemayim. First he placed the land there, and then he placed the heavens there. Similar to the way we reconciled the luminaries on being created on the first day, and then being established on the fourth day. So here too, he created them together, and then he established the earth, and then he created the, and then he established the Shemayim. Okay, my Shemayim, what is Shemayim? How do you get that word? Amar Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina Shesham Mayim. Shemayim comes from two words put together that he placed water, that there's water in the sky. B'masnisa Tana Eshu Mayim. We have another version, another brisa that says that it comes from the conjugating the words fire and water. That's what Shemayim is, fire and water. That the way Hashem created the world, or I'm sorry, the way Hashem created the firmament, the sky, was by mixing together water and fire, and that's how he created the sky. Fine. Shaul, by the way, Rabbi Rosner in his shir pointed out that this machlokes be Shammai be Hillel as to which was created first, Shamayim or Aretz, kind of, you could see in it a reflection of the general disposition of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai is always kind of going after a harsh din and is focused on what is established in Shamayim. So he says Shamayim, or they say Shamayim was created first. Whereas Beis Hillel kind of always takes the more humanistic approach and is more is less harsh in the application of halacha, and that's more oriented towards Aretz, towards us living down here. Okay. Shol Rabbi Shmuel as Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva were once taking a walk, and Rabbi Shmuel asked Rabbi Akiva, "Amarle, ata shashimashtes nachal mishgamzu chaf beis shana, you who learned with nachal mishgamzu for 22 years, shayadorish kolesin shabatorah, and nachal mishgamzu, he was doresh all the esin shabatorah. Every time the word es appears, it has some kind of meaning to it, because an es is an additional word. You don't need the word es in there. It doesn't really... Tried to translate the word S into English, you can't translate it. So, S doesn't always need to mean there. So it always has some kind of drusha associated with it. So he says, what is S HaShemayim V'es HaAretz? Mahi Adorish Bahen? Why does the Pasuk say, right, Breishis Bara Elokim, S HaShemayim V'es HaAretz? It could have just said, Breishis Bara Elokim HaShemayim V'aretz. So what are the word S? What are you darshan from the two S in there? Amarlei, so Rabbi Akiva answered him, Ilu nemar shamayim v'aretz, ha'isi omer shamayim, and then the Bach adds, v'aretz, shmosan shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If it would have just said, Breishis bar Elokim ha'shamayim v'aretz, I would have read that as one phrase, and I would have thought that shamayim and aretz are part of the name of Hashem. Breishis bar Elokim ha'shamayim v'aretz, that Hashem's name is Elokim shamayim v'aretz. And therefore, I needed the S in there to kind of break it up and to say, Breishis Bara Elokim, Hashem created Es HaShemayim V'es HaAretz, the land and the sky, so that I don't mistakenly think that that's all one long name of Hashem. Right, he says, Yuhay Nemar Shemayim V'Aretz, Hayisi Omer Shemayim V'Aretz, Shemosan Shal Kadosh Baruch Hu, Achshav Shnemar Es HaShemayim V'es HaAretz, Shemayim Shemayim Mamish. That teaches me that the sky is referring to the sky. Aretz Mamish, it's teaching me that the land is literally the land.
So the et is needed.
Well, that's
the first essay, the second essay. That's the next question then.
That's the next question.
Good.
That's good. Es Aretz, so why do I need Es Aretz? Right, S would have done that trick. The first S would have done that trick. Lamui, the Gemara says, Lahaktim Shemayim La'aretz, to teach you or to kind of signal to you that this is an order, that it's saying that the Shemayim was created first and then the earth was created. Fine. Then they quote the next part of the pasuk. Va'aretz ha'isa sohu va'vohu, michtej b'shemayim atzchil b'reisha, ma'ishna d'kachashiv ma'isa aretz. So, if the sky was created first, why do I have to mention again that the Aretz was there? Right? Why do I mention again that the Aretz is there? Tanar debei Rabbi Yishmael, Mashal Melch Baser Vadam, Shomer Lavada Veshkimu Pesachai. So this is explained by a mashal of a king, a human king, who says to his servants, wake up early and come to my palace to serve me. Wake up early and come to my palace. So l'machar hishkim u'matza nashim va'nashim. And the next morning he wakes up and he looks out his window and he sees lots of men and women gathered at the entrance to his palace. So Lemi Mishabeach. The question that generated this, the question we're dealing with is, if the Shamayim and Aretz were both created there, or even if the Shamayim was created first, why does the next pasuk say focus on Ve'aretz Aisa Sovo? It should have said the whole universe was Sovavo, right? It should have said Shamayim Ve'aretz was Sovavo. Why is Hashem focusing on the Aretz now? So he's answering it by saying in the mashal, a king who told his subjects to wake up early to come visit him. He looks out his window, he sees all the men and women, all his subjects there. So Lumi Mishabeach, who is he going to praise for showing up early? He's going to specifically point out or specifically identify the people who usually sleep late. The people we get up for the 6:15 shacharis and every morning, no great deal that they showed up at the order of the king early in the morning. It's the people that go to the 8:30 shacharis that when the king told them to wake up early and they showed up, they're the ones who get the special mention. And so too, here, Aretz was, as Rashi explains here, Aretz is kind of more earthly. And so it's the fact that the Aretz, Haisasovavo, the Aretz was very spiritual or not very firm or not very physical. That's what we desires, or that's what gets the special mention in the pasuk, that it was the Aretz that was like that. Shemayim, it's no big deal that the Shemayim was so vavo. It's the Aretz that was so vavo that gets that special mention. Tanya, Rav Yossi Omer, Oyohem lebrios sheroos veinon yodos maros. So Rav Yossi says, it's too bad that there are all sorts of people that see, and they don't really appreciate what they're seeing. Omdos vein yodos almain omdos. And they stand, and they don't realize the amazing thing that they're standing on. Haaretz alma omedes al hamudim. The land, the earth, stands on pillars. Shenemar hamargiz eretz mimekoma ve'amudea yispalutzun. Because the pasuk says that Hashem shakes the land from its place, and on it and its pillars it splits.
Earthquakes,
I guess. Okay, so. He's just going to say what everything stands on. So the land stands on these pillars, va'amudim al hamayim, and the pillars stand on the water. Shenemar l'roka aretz al hamayim, that the land stands on the water. Mayim al harim, water stands on the mountains. Shenemar al harim yamdu mayim, that the water stands on mountains. Harim beruach, and the mountains stand on some sort of wind or a spiritual force. Shemar kine yotzer harim uvorei ruach. The pasuk refers to the harim on the ruach. Ruach besara, and this wind or this spirituality stands on a storm. Shemar ruach sara osa dvaro. And then finally, sara, the storm is tluya bizroo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The storm that stands on the arm, or on the arm of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shnemar mitachas ro'o solam. Ultimately, the point is that one by one, everything is kind of layered. But ultimately, the land, which is at the top layer, is supported ultimately by zro'o shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and in between are these kind of less strong thing, what we usually think of as less firm things, such as ruach and sara, storm and a wind. Rai Rosner, when he mentioned that the Chavetz Chaim said that when you build a building, usually the strongest, most firm material is at the bottom, right? You have cement at the foundation, and then from there you build on softer things up above. Wood is softer than cement. You want something strong to hold the whole structure. Otherwise, it's not as strong a structure. And here, when we're describing the structure of the world, we're describing what seems to be pretty hard stuff, like the aretz, the dirt, the earth, standing on wind and standing on storms, and then ultimately standing on this entirely spiritual thing is Rosh HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But it comes to teach us that really the whole foundation of the earth, the foundation of existence, is the spiritual rather than the physical. Okay. V'chachamim omrim Al Yud Beis Amudim Omedes, it stands on 12 pillars. Shenemar Yotzev Gvuos Amim Mispar Bnei Yisrael, that Hashem set the boundaries based on the Mispar Bnei Yisrael, based on the Shvatim, the 12. Yesh Omrim Zayin Amudim, there's some who say that it stands on 7 pillars. Shenemar Chatzva Amudei Shiva, that he hewed out pillars of 7 of them. Ravazer Ben Shemo Omer Al Amud Echad, that it all stands on 1 pillar. Vitzadik Shemo, and that pillar is referred to as the Tzadik. Shnemar Vitzadik Yisod Olam, that the basis of the world, or the foundation of the world, is the Tzadik. Amrav Yudah Shnei Rekiyim Hein, there are 2 skies. Shnemar Hein LaShem Elokecha Hashemayim U'Shmei Hashemayim, not just the sky, but the outer skies, the upper skies. Rish Lakish Omer Shiva, there are 7, according to Rish Lakish, there are 7 heavens. And here's what they are referred to. Vilon, Rakia, Shechakim, Zvul, Ma'on, Machon, and Aravos. And we're going to, for most of the rest of the daf here, we're going to explain what these 7 heavens are, where we get Pesukim from them. So,
the Aslichas, they mention these 7.
Do they, really?
Usually I think the ones we skip over, but they...
Oh. Okay, so Vilon, the first one is Vilon. Vilon literally means a curtain. So the first of the levels of heaven is a curtain. Vilon eno mishamesh klum. So the Vilon doesn't actually contain anything physical. It's not like there's a moon there or a sun. Vilon is this level that doesn't contain anything specifically. Ela nichnas shachris viyotze arvis. It comes in the morning, it goes in the evening. Umechadish b'chol yom aseh breishis. And that's what refreshes the creation each day. That he stretches out the heavens as a curtain and he spreads them as a tent to dwell in. So that's the Vilon. Rashi says that it's referring to the fact that it kind of makes it dark at night and light at the day, is this curtain that kind of covers the sun at the evening, whatever that means. It's hard to, it's on some spiritual level. Okay, Rakia. The next level was the Rakia, right? The next level of heavens. Shaboch Chama Uvana Kochavim Umazalos Kvun. So this refers to, I guess this is the one that's most apparent to us. This is where the sun and the moon and the stars and the constellations, they all reside in the Rakia. Shenemar Vayitein Osam Elokim Barakia Shemayim. Hashem placed the luminaries in the Rakia. Fine, that's the Rakia. Shechakim. The next level is the Shchachim. Shabo Rechaim Omdos. There are these mills there. Vitochanos Mun Latzadikim. And they grind out Mun for the Tzadikim. Shnemer Vaitzav Shchachim Ima'al V'dalse Shamayim Pasach Vayamter Aleim Mun Lechol. In referring to the Shchachim, it says that the Shchachim are the level of heavens that generate Mun. Zvul is another level of the heavens. Shabo Yerushalayim U'Beis HaMikdash. This is where the Yerushalayim Shalmala is. This is where the Beis HaMikdash Shalmala is. The Yerushalayim Beis HaMikdash, the parallel of the Yerushalayim and Beis HaMikdash on the earth. Umizbeach Banoi, this is where the Mizbeach Shalmala is. Umichal Hasar Hagadol Omeid Umakrival of Karban. Michal, the angel, is actually bringing Karbanos in the Zvul. Shenamra Bano Banisi Beis Zvul Lecha Machon Leshivtecha Olamim. Again, this idea of a place where Hashem resides in the heavens is referred to as the Zvul. How do we know that this is part of the sky? Look up in the skies and the heavens and see, and then it says your zvul of your glory. Fine. The next level is Ma'on. Ma'on shabo kitos shel malachei asharis sheomros shira balayla. The Ma'on is the place where there are angels that say Shira at night, that sing the praises of Hashem at night, v'chashos bayom, and they're silent during the day, mipnei kvodon shel Yisrael, as a matter of respect for Yisrael, because we're saying Shira, we daven during the day. So if the Malachim were saying their Shira during the day, that would outnumber us, that would kind of crowd out our Shira, and therefore the Malachim are silent as day, as a chesed to us, to allow us to praise Hashem during the day. Shneamar yomam yitzav Hashem chasto, v'layla shira imi, that we cry out Hashem's glory during the day, and at night, shira imi, that at night the Shira stays with me, meaning the Malachim sing Shira. Amar Reish Lakish, now we have a little bit of a tangent for a few lines. Amar Reish Lakish, Kol Osek Batorah Balayla, anyone who learns Torah at night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Alav Chut Shel Chesed Bayom. So Hashem will string out for him a thread of chesed. He'll enact chesed for him during the day. Shnemar yomam yitzav Hashem chasdo. Matam yomam yitzav Hashem chasdo. Mishum uvalayla shira imi. The psukim are strung together as if to say the reason Hashem performs chesed during the day is because of the Torah learning that you perform at night. V'kad Amri, another version of this, Amri Shlakish, Kol Osek Batorah Bo'olam Hazeh, if you learn Torah in this world, Shudom Lalaila, which is akin to night, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshech Lov Chut Shel Chesed Olam Haba, you'll get your schar in Olam Haba, Hashem will do chesed for you in Olam Haba, Shudom Elayom, which is similar to day, Shnemar Yomam Yitzav Hashem Chasto, V'layla Shira Yimei, same idea. And then similarly, Amar Rabbi Levi, Klaposek midivrei Torah v'osek bidivrei sicha, anyone who stops learning Torah and instead gets involved in conversation, not about Torah, ma'achiyun, meaning if you are learning Torah and then you interrupt yourself and get distracted, ma'achiyun oso gachalei resamim. So you get eaten by hot coals, shenemar hakotfin maruach alai siach v'shoresh resamim lachmam. That there's a pasuk the difficult pasuk. They pluck salt with wormwood, and the roots of the broom tree are their food. But the point is, it says resamim lachmam that their food is hot coals. Okay, back to the topic. Umino and dikrein shamayim. How do we know that ma'on is a level of the heavens? Shnemar hashkifa mima'on kad shecha mina shamayim. There you have the word ma'on associated with shamayim. Machon, next one is the next level of heavens was Machon. Shabo Otsros Sheleg, so this Machon is the place where all the precipitation is stored. Shabo, that's where there's a storage of Sheleg, of snow, Otsros Barad, and hail, Balios Tlalim, and dew. I'm sorry, Tlalim Rayim, that's where bad dew is, Balios Agalim, and drops. Vichadara Shel Sofa Sa'ara, that's where the storms and the tempests are all stored. Uma'ara, Shalkitur, and there's a cave containing mist. That's where all the precipitation is. Vidalso Sayan Esh, and the entranceway, the doorway to this area, to this Machon, is made out of fire. How do we know that? Shinemar, Yiftach Hashem L'chaso Sarah Atov. Rashi explains that the pasuk here says, Yiftach Hashem L'chaso Sarah Atov. Hashem should open for you his storehouses of good. So Rashi explains that the fact that there's a pasuk that refers to storehouses of good implies that there are also storehouses of bad, because you wouldn't need to describe the good storehouses unless there was other kinds of storehouses. So here we know that there is a storehouse in Shemayim that containing all sorts of bad stuff, potentially harmful stuff like hail and storms, etc. Hani berikia isnu. Oh, so the Gemara says Hani berikia isnu. This is in the skies and the heavens. Hani ba'ara isnu. This is all in the we know that this stuff is in the on the earth. Dechsev haguas Hashem mina aretz taninim v'chol talmos eshu varad shelu v'kitur ruach saro sadvaro. Right, the pasuk in Tehillim says that all these storms and fire and hail and mist, etc., all takes place mina aretz, kind of closer to earth. This isn't in some upper echelons of the sky. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. David bikesh olam rachim in voridan aretz. He says it's true. Originally, all these storehouses of storms and fire and mist and dew and harmful precipitation was in the upper echelons of Shemayim. But David wanted, he was merachim on them. I'm not sure who he was merachim on. He was merachim on Hashem to take all this bad stuff away from Hashem and put it closer to the earth. Where that he was merachim on the, I'm not sure. So what did he do? Amar Lofan Ribono Shlolam Lo El Chafetz Rasha Ata Lo Yagurcha Ra Tzadik Ata Hashem Lo Yagur B'Megorcha Ra. He's basically pleaded to Hashem that in your area bad stuff shouldn't be. I guess he had rachim on Hashem that to take away the bad stuff, the harmful stuff from there. Fine. Uminal and Dikrei Shemayim. How do we know that this Machon is referred to as a level of Shemayim. Dechsiv atot ishma ara Shemayim machon shiftecha. There you see it associated with Shemayim. Aravos, that's the next level. Shabot tzedek u'mishpat v'tztaka. That's where you find justice and righteousness and tztaka. Ginzei chayim, treasuries of life. V'ginzei shalom, treasuries of peace. V'ginzei bracha, treasuries of blessing. V'nishmasan shel tzadikim, the souls of tzadikim. V'ruchos u'neshamos sh'asid l'hibaros, the future neshamos that are going to be created later. V'tal, and the dew sh'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'hachayos b'meisim, the dew that Hashem will ultimately use for tchias ha'meisim. How do we know all these? So we're going to put a pasuk for each of them. Tzedek u'mishpat, tchsiv tzedek u'mishpat, machon kisecha. Those are associated again with machon. Tzedakah tchsiv ayobash tzedakah kashirion, that Hashem wears tzedakah like armor. Ginzei chayim tchsiv kim chomekor chayim, that Hashem again has with him the storehouses of life. V'ginzei shalom, storehouses of peace. Tchsiv ayikra lo Hashem shalom. V'ginzei bracha, d'chsiv yisa bracha meis Hashem. Again, he's associating with Hashem each of these concepts. Nishmashan shel tzadikim, the souls of tzadikim, d'chsiv v'yisa nefesh adonit tzura b'sra chayim, as Hashem al-kecha. Ruchos in neshamos, sh'asidu ibaros. How do you know that the Hashem is holding on to these future souls that are going to be born? D'chsiv kiruach milofanai atof, neshamos ani asisi, that I created these neshamos. V'tal she'asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'achayos b'meisim, how do we know that the tal that Hashem is going to use for tchias ha'meisim is with him? D'chsiv geshem nidvos tanif elokim nachlasecha v'nilua ta konanta, that that bountiful geshem, again, that's translated as when your inheritance is weary, you confirmed it. The same idea is that it's with him. Sham ofanim mistrafim v'chayos ha'kodesh u'malachay ha'sharis v'kisei ha'kavod. And all these things are up there as well. The various malachim and the kisei hakavod, etc. Melech kel chai ram v'nisa shochin alehem. Baravos. That again, this is all in the level of Aravos. Shnemar solo orochev Baravos b'kashimo. This is all associated with that word Aravos. And we know on Dikrei Shemaim, how do we know that this Aravos, that all these things are associated with, is a level of Shemayim, Asya Rechiva Rechiva, because you have a Gezerah Shava of Rechiva and Rechiva. The word appears with respect to Aravos, and it appears with respect to Shemayim. Ksiv hacha solu arochev ba'aravos, Rechiva ba'aravos, you see, ksiv hasam rochev Shemayim b'azrecha, that Shemayim is associated with rochev as well. I think we'll stop there, because the next kind of continues on to the next page.
Sense, because he said in the Shemayim, under the Kisei Kavod, this level, which is the highest level, is the
that's where the
Shemos are coming from.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like Babos
is maybe on parallel to the Kisei Kavod. Whatever that means.
So it's all very difficult.